Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, Wednesday. We are halfway through the week, January the 19th. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Back in the station studio now. I have to do something after the show today, and it was downtown anyway. Time to get back here with Ian anyway, so it's good to be back in the studio. Ian Hoke, our senior studio producer, is just across the way in the other studio. Nice to see you face-to-face.
Hi, nice to see you, too. We don't have to do the Zoom anymore.
That's right.
That doesn't bother me one little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, it's cool. It's we're back, and it's the way it should be. We've got a lot to talk about today. You know, I know that there's this big thing going on Capitol Hill about voting rights. And it's really kind of confusing, and I don't even know if it matters if we talk about it because it's not going to pass. But we're going to, at least in the second hour of the show, at least have a conversation about what is this all about? I mean, obviously, Republicans have one opinion and Democrats have the other opinion. But what about us? I mean, what about the voters? What about just the concept of voting rights? This is just such a fundamental aspect of American society and democracy. That is really a very important issue, and it somehow gets all clouded up in politics. So we'll try to explain a little bit about that in the second hour of the show. Also, later in the show, I want to talk about this candidate who is going after Senator John Kennedy's seat for the Senate. A senatorial candidate from Louisiana is seen smoking this fat marijuana blunt in a commercial, and he's talking about marijuana. And I still think it's interesting that neither party has touched the issue of legalizing marijuana. Because there are a lot of people in this country who are smoking pot. And a lot of people would like it to be legalized. And it's interesting that no party wants to touch it. You know, I would think that in some ways you'd think that, well, this would be an issue for the Democrats because it's about being liberal. It's about being open. It's about letting people do what they want. But then the other part of it is, I can see conservative ideology lining up with legalizing pot, because conservative ideology is based on the idea that the government is not involved in your life, that you have the freedom to choose, and you should have the freedom to smoke pot if you want to smoke pot. And as many people as might think that this is a liberal issue, excuse me, there are a hell of a lot of people. There are a lot of conservatives. And I know many of you are conservative, and you smoke pot. And it's just interesting that it's not an issue. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And also, Amanda Knox, you remember her, don't you? She was in this big trial. She was on trial for murdering her housemate. Her and her boyfriend were into like really weird sex stuff, and a housemate ended up dead. And I think she was convicted, but then there was another trial, or I forgot exactly what happened, but she was basically found not guilty. Well, anyway, she's commenting on the public outcry against Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's partner in crime. And she's saying that really the only reason that we're really so interested in this is because it's a chance to vilify a woman over these sexual assault charges. And I totally disagree with that. I don't think this has anything to do with gender. I mean, what she did was horrible, and I think Amanda Knox admits that. But, you know, to suggest that this is somehow unfair to women, it's an excuse to beat up on women. You know, we've got to stop that. We've got to stop gender. We've got to stop playing the race card. We've got to stop all of that because, you know, we're letting people get away with things because we're afraid to criticize because of something like race or gender. And we can't be afraid to do that. All right, we've got a couple of calls really early on into the show. I guess we can get to a few of these. Let's go to Cutoff. And Steve, you're on WWL. Hey, Steve.
Hey, man, I just wanted to I don't know, just maybe bring some light to something. This voting issue that's on the floor right now, it is not really and truly a voting bill. Okay, I mean, voting rights. It's voting rules, because every legal American has the right to vote, and you can't take that away from us. These are voting rules that Schumer and his ridiculous party are trying to push on everybody. So it's not rights.
No, we're going to, okay, I understand the point you're making, and it is about rules, and you're right, we do have a right. But there's sometimes things happen in our lexicon, sometimes things happen in our language, and we kind of blur things. So it's conventionally known as, and I can't change it, it's conventionally known as voting rights. It's a voting rights bill. That's what it's called. But you bring up a great point, Steve. I'm glad you called. Now, is it really that ridiculous? What are these bills about? They're two bills. And so we'll talk about that in the next hour. Let's go to Elwin, who is downtown. Hey, Elwin, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
Hey, man, look, I mentioned this yesterday, but I forgot to put this in there. Any kind of vehicle getting jacked, hijacked, or whatever they call it, carjacking, whether it's a boat, train, a bus going out of town, or anything, that should be mandatory life. Because you got people lives at stake, you got children lives at stake. I mean, you got people lives at stake anyway. I mean, if you get into a wreck, but I'm saying this, you got people lives at stake when you do in carjacking.
No,
and I don't understand. What I don't understand is the legislature does not say anything about this in their meetings, because they don't even mention this stuff.
Well, that needs to change. And somebody brought that up on the show yesterday, and that person's brought it up on the show before. Elwin, I appreciate your call. We need to work on that. We need to find out what responsibility the legislature has in this whole problem. And we need to hold them accountable. And there's going to be a legislative session coming up before long. And we will talk about exactly what the legislature can do. And you need to pressure the representative that represents you to stop playing politics and do the right thing. A lot of these people go up to Baton Rouge and they love the power that they have. They love the benefits of being a state legislator, but they don't do crap. And sometimes they're just noisemakers. And they talk about doing stuff that they really can't do anyway. And sometimes state legislators talk about doing stuff that's unconstitutional. But they do it to get their voting base riled up. So, you know, we, the voting public, are really the stupid ones, because we let them get away with it. And they're playing us for fools. So we have to do another update on carjackings and crime in New Orleans. And the police chief and the district attorney have differing opinions about what needs to be done. I want to mention that I received this from the mayor's office. Mayor Cantrell had a public safety chief's meeting yesterday with criminal district court judges. The mayor convened a meeting yesterday with key people involved in the criminal justice system. The mayor's public safety leadership team included Police Chief Sean Ferguson, Public Safety Director John Thomas, Criminal Justice Commissioner Tanisha Stevens, City Attorney Denisha Turner, and they were joined by Orleans Parish Criminal District Judge Robin Pittman and Deputy Chief Judge Tracy Flemings DeVellier. And they also invited Marlon Gussman. The mayor said, quote, "I want to thank Chief Judge Robin Pittman for reaching out to me and my administration to convene today's meeting." She said, "The spike in crime that we have experienced in this city during the pandemic is not a challenge any one agency can overcome alone. In the days and months ahead, we will continue to work with all stakeholders, including the courts, the DA, OPSO, towards solutions to make our city safer. I applaud the mayor for addressing the issue. Let's see where it goes from here. Those words, at this point, are cheap. Is she going to really do something? Are these people going to come together and really demand change? We'll see. But they're not going to be able to hide behind closed doors, because we are going to hold them accountable. We are going to talk about what they're doing and what they're not doing. And that's our job. That's the job of the media. That's what we do. The beginning of the media in this country, the beginning of journalism in this country, was to hold government accountable. And that's what you see with investigative reporters here locally. They hold government accountable. Also, you've heard about the New Orleans carjacking, a victim who had to pay $400 to recover his car. His car was stolen. It ended up being towed, and he had to pay $400 to get it. Something needs to be done about that. Carjackings have almost tripled in New Orleans compared to last year at this time. And there was another shooting on the interstate. A 34-year-old mother is dead. Her daughter was in the back. This was in New Orleans East, another shooting. Let me, all of you who are interstate hunters, those of you who are hunting humans on the interstate, I want you to know that you've reached your limit. So stop, because you can't go over the limit. It's almost like it's hunting. And police are not saying whether or not this is random or a target. So we don't know. But just such a sad story. The woman's sister, I believe, the mother's sister, was on the phone with her, and all of a sudden she hears nothing, and then she hears the daughter in the background saying, "Mommy, Mommy, wake up, wake up." She was shot on the interstate. This continues, and it's growing out of control because not enough has been done to stop it. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. My email address is scoot@wwl.com. And, you know, we have to continue talking about this, because this is a problem that is not going to go away until we, the people, demand change. City Council has a meeting scheduled tomorrow with the police chief, Monday with the DA. And we'll also be talking this hour about the DA and the police chief having different opinions of what's going on. We'll be back on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting these thug masters off the street starts with the NOPD arresting them, and then it goes to the DA to prosecute them. And the two sides seem to be arguing. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. I'm Scoot, and if you're on hold, stay with us, because your calls are important. And you, as an audience, contribute so much to this show. So hang on, your comments are coming up. Every Wednesday, we do take a break and we talk about money matters, because, you know, money matters. And I don't have really enough of it to be an expert in the matter. But Shane Smith is a vice president, credit administration with Metairie Bank. He joins us on WWL. Hey, Shane.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. So I see all these commercials on TV about credit, and just by just doing this one thing to check your credit, you can improve your credit. What is that about?
Yeah, absolutely. You do see a bunch of those commercials, and you know they're all over. And coming from a financial institution, we really don't recommend you follow those. There's really no reason to really follow them because you can really do it on your own. There's no reason to involve any kind of credit repair agency. Every American has the right once a year to go to a website, and that website is www.annualcreditreport.com. So there's some out there. I think it's freeannualcreditreport.com or some other companies, but just www.annualcreditreport.com. You have the right once a year to go in and pull your report from all of the three credit reporting agencies. Then once you do that and you figure out what's in your report, if you have any mistakes, you're also obligated. They have rules under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act and such of those things that if you do find mistakes, they legally have to investigate and fix those mistakes for you. So you're in more control of it yourself and you're not paying one of those companies to do it for you.
All right. So a couple of years ago, I bought a car. And there was something on my credit that I didn't even know was there. And it goes way back. And it was something that was resolved, but it was still on my credit. So a lot of people may have stuff on their credit report that is affecting their credit rating, even though it's been resolved.
Absolutely. So a lot of people have things on there that they don't know about. You know, we see a lot of medical collections, and it could be something that's $7 or something from a cable company or a phone company, things you don't know. If you have a similar name, if you're a junior, if your brother or somebody has the same name as you and you're socially close, it very well could be their information on your report, and they would have no idea that it's there. I mean, I think the latest statistic was it was like almost 40% of Americans haven't pulled their credit bureau in the last year to even know if there was something on there that could be adversely affecting them.
Now, if you find something on there that's not that shouldn't be on there or it's resolved, do you have to do it? I mean, you have to do some work yourself, don't you?
Right. So if you go to that website and you pull that credit report yourself, the annualcreditreport.com, there's going to be a reference number on there. So you're able to call any of the three major credit reporting agencies, which is TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And once you reference that number, you let them know that you pulled this report and this is what you think is wrong. And then they'll let you know, okay, send it in writing, certified mail. And they legally only have 30 days to go ahead and investigate that and fix it. Or no different if, say, you don't know, you just go to a car dealership or a bank and you're denied credit because you have a bad credit score and you didn't know why, you can request a copy of that report from that institution and they legally have to provide you a copy and therefore you can take it and look it up yourself and kind of have an idea of what's going on. And that seems to be a little bit better process than having somebody else do it for you.
Yeah. All right, Shane, if somebody comes into Metairie Bank, for example, and they apply for a loan, car loan, mortgage, whatever, and something's on the on their credit, do you help them get that off their credit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that we do. This is something that we strongly believe in, you know, letting people know how it affects them. And, you know, when they're sitting across a desk from us, we can let them know, like, hey, this is your score and this is the reasons why it is. And, you know, we can show them a copy of it. And they may not know that they have this medical collection. And sometimes they have it on there where it'll be enough information to give them that they can go do the research, et cetera. So the bank ourselves is not able to actually take it off for them, but we're absolutely able to provide some guidance for them and help them along the way of getting it done.
All right. Shane Smith, Vice President, Credit Administration, Metairie Bank. Thank you for your time and expertise.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. I'm Scoot on the air. Once again, we're talking about crime and we're talking about carjackings and really the crime wave. We're not just talking about crime. We're talking about the crime wave that has hit New Orleans. Interstate shootings, shootings on the street, and carjackings. The mayor finally said something about it. She had a meeting. Now, meetings are great, but meetings are meaningless if they don't lead to change. So we'll see what happens. Let me get to your calls. From St. Bernard, John, thanks for hanging on. You're on WWL.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
If you remember, we had the same problem in the 90s because I worked at LTI back then, and we had a lot of juvenile offenders that were carjacking. I think they're missing the point. Someone's buying the cars, Stu. They're stealing the cars, and they're taking them to the chop shop somewhere, and I think they should focus on that because once you find the chop shop, you'll find the kids that's bringing them in. but they're not doing that. They're constantly blaming each other. But where are the calls going, Scoop? We don't hear anything about it.
Well, we do hear, but John, we do hear about it. I mean, there's a couple of people. Somebody called yesterday, and there's somebody in the news about their car was in the pound, and sometimes cars are found around the corner. So these cars are not going to chop shops.
Most of them, Scoot, you're not hearing about. I'm telling you what I know. Most of them you're not hearing about. And I think it's a cop-out to Sean Ferguson to blame the DA. I think they need to work together to solve the problem. We're not making any headway by this one talking about that one and that one talking about this one.
Well, I agree with that.
I can almost guarantee you, Scoot, the FBI should be more involved. It's a chop shop.
Yeah. All right, John, I'm glad you brought that up. I had always thought that, but so many of the cars seem to be found. I mean, were you carjacked? Did they find you? Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll see. If you were carjacked, did they find your car? It seems like a lot of the cars are not that far away. Or they end up being towed and end up in the car pound or on a lot somewhere. But if they're selling the cars to chop shops, then yes, arrest and bust and put in prison the chop shop people and find out the little bastards who are doing it. Let's go to Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how's it going?
Good.
Great. I have a couple of points, and I want to make analogies. First of all, about the crime in New Orleans. When there are a couple of plane crashes back-to-back, many people get scared to go on planes. The media contributes because when it bleeds, they lead. And so they don't want to go on a plane, but they have no trepidation about driving a car when 40,000 people get killed every year in cars and millions more get hurt in accidents. So that same mindset, it prevails in the New Orleans crime situation. New Orleans crime, of course there's crime. It should be addressed. But many of those same people will not take vaccines. They won't wear masks. They're not scared of COVID, which kills thousands of times more people than any kind of New Orleans crime could. So on that issue, just using that same analogy, go to New Orleans if you're not scared of COVID.
Well, it's an interesting point, Michael. I appreciate the comment. You know, I understand the point that if you care about safety, you should get the vaccine. We've talked about that a lot on the show. It is true that when planes crash, that brings more attention than the car crashes. But the most dangerous part about flying is getting in your car and driving to the airport. Statistically, that's the most dangerous part about flying. But there is a significant uptick in crime. This is not an illusion. This is not something that is just getting attention in the media. It's getting attention in the media because it's happening. From Metairie, Mike, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
What's concerning the most is obviously these interstate shootings, because you don't know if it's targeted or if it's just random. I mean, that's a scary thing. But the biggest difference between Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish is pretty simple. They don't carjack in Jefferson Parish because they prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. And you have a lot of progressives in the parish of Orleans that just are soft on crime because they don't want to be seen as being too hard on the criminal. And when you have the criminals that know they're not going to be held accountable for what they're going to do, they're just going to keep on doing it and doing it.
You're right. Then you're absolutely right. And so that's why this BS needs to be exposed. And we need to call out the progressives who are being progressive to the point where they're encouraging. Some progressives and their mentality is actually inviting criminals to commit crime.
We're 100% agreement, Scoob. This was an easy call.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Senior Studio Producer Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, I'm not the apologist for the mayor, the police chief, or the district attorney, but I wonder whether any meeting or speeches or crime camera footage can accomplish anything. Maybe such things might cause a brief thought or two that those in charge are at least thinking about it, but I'm not optimistic. Short of every one of us buying stick shifts and putting faux babies in our car for deterrence, what can happen?
I agree. These meetings are going to be totally meaningless. It's going to be typical public BS we're going to make the public think we're doing something about the problem, but we're really not going to do anything about the problem because we don't know what the hell to do, and so we're not going to try to figure it out. We're just going to worry about getting reelected. That's all we really care about. So, you know, watch the politics that is at play here.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, if Williams and Moreno are the favorites to be the next mayor, should I put up my house for sale now and make them move to the north? Because every time there's a presser, whether it's the DA, a council person, or the mayor, there's no outrage and there's no change. It's the wild, wild west, and the sheriff and deputies are sitting in the saloon. Thanks, Pat.
I agree, Pat.
Here's a text. Okay, this is a direct question that you need to give an honest answer to. You understand?
Okay.
Everybody's listening. They want to know where you stand on this issue.
Okay.
That's what they expect from you, Scoot.
Okay.
Are you going to go see Elton John?
I don't know yet.
See, you can't pin you down. Yeah. You got a crawfish away.
No, honestly, I don't know yet. But you know, I saw him the last time he was here at the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, I remember. You
and it
saw
was really
him
it was
recently,
close.
Right?
That was the first time I saw him. Uh-huh. I have to decide whether or not I need to see him again, and you know, maybe I will. But after the concert, we're going to talk to Keith Spears from NOLA.com. He's going to give us a review of
the
concert. So even if I'm not there, we'll get a review of it.
Okay, cool.
So I really honestly, I'm being honest with you when I tell you I haven't decided. But when I do, I'll be honest with you and you will know. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. So we're going to hear a comment from Jason Williams and a comment from the police chief coming up on WWL. Can we work together and find that ordinary world? It's not a perfect world, but it's more ordinary than this. It's not ordinary to worry about being shot on the interstate, and people are worried about that. It's not ordinary to worry about being carjacked, and people are worried about that. Jason Williams is the district attorney. He ran on a progressive platform. He said he was going to do all he could to not try juveniles as adults. But one of the early cases he had once he took office involved a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, and they killed a woman, carjacking her car. He said he's trying them as adults. A lot of eyes are on Jason Williams. I know he has political aspirations beyond being DA. The problem is that there are so many progressive-minded voters in New Orleans. And it's not that they're so progressive-minded, it's that they relate to the criminals. Because the criminals are in their family. The criminals live next door. The criminals are part of their community. And they relate to them. And they don't want harsh treatment of them. And when I say harsh treatment, I don't mean anything unconstitutional. I'm talking about, you know, they don't want them to be held accountable. And there's all these other reasons why they do what they do. But at some point, you got to hold them accountable. Jason Williams says that the debate over crime is just infected with a lot of falsehoods.
And I'm even more fed up when I hear that they are that there is a finger pointing or blame suggesting that someone is arrested on a Monday and out on a Monday. That hasn't happened. It's a false narrative.
If that hasn't happened, then the police chief is wrong, because the police chief has said that these kind of things, I don't know, Monday, but I mean, they get out right away. A lot, that's been one of the complaints of NOPD. Jason Williams also says, here's what his office is doing to address the carjacking epidemic.
We're holding carjackers accountable by prosecuting these offenses, not just as carjacking, but as armed robberies. And we do this because this increases the maximum sentences in jail terms.
And Police Chief Sean Ferguson, who is at odds with Jason Williams over some of this, says that there are problems with the policy of the judicial system that make it more difficult to keep criminals off the street.
But make no mistake about it. We will continue to do what we need to do. But many are also acknowledging that a short-term solution to much of this violence we face as a society will come from punitive measures. We need to find ways to keep violent offenders behind bars. We need to be innovative in our solutions.
So what does all this mean? First of all, I think there's a positive aspect of the DA and the police chief debating this issue, because it kind of makes me think that maybe something's going to be done. But at some point, they've got to put their fingers down and work together. And unfortunately, politics is at play here. Jason Williams has political aspirations. He might deny it, but he does. The police chief represents Mayor Cantrell. So when the DA criticizes the police chief, NOPD, he's criticizing Mayor Cantrell and her administration. Now, if politics is at play here, we're not going to get squat done. Just forget it. It's going to continue. And the thugs know that. If nothing's done, they know they can continue doing what they're doing. So we've got to be very sensitive to politics at play here. Let's go to Slidell. David, you're on WWL. Hey, David.
Hey, I want to shift it a little bit. Maybe bring up some cops to do that. What about the idea of using some sort of a website or an app, maybe Louisiana Wallet, to report fender benders? You have to sit and wait 2 hours. You just snap photos and send it in through the app.
You know, I don't know. I don't know that much about how that would work. But at this point, you know, I think every suggestion should be taken seriously. What do you think that would accomplish?
Do you have Louisiana Wallet?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have Louisiana Wallet?
I do.
It seems like it would be a suitable app to just update to where if you're in a minor fender bender, you take pictures, you fill out basically the information the police would take, and then it would go to the authorities and they could hire somebody to come in at night, do data, you know, put it all in the system and save the cops to do police work. And you know, they don't want to do those fender benders, and it also would help the citizens, you know, get on their way after a little fender bender.
It's an interesting idea, David, and you have floated the idea on the show, so I appreciate the call. Let's go to Mandeville. Chad, you're on WWL. Hey, Chad.
Hey, this is George. If you want to call me Chad, it's fine.
Oh, hey, George. It's okay. Right, so look, the wrong button was pushed, okay? I'm not going to say whether it was me or Ian, but between the two of us, somebody pushed the wrong button.
It was me.
It's okay. It doesn't matter who it was. Somebody did. It's okay, Ian. I forgive you. I'm sorry, George. Go ahead.
Yeah, so two quick things. Number one, go try this. Go to the next council meeting. Put before on the agenda that every city council person in their district has to go, no matter day or night, to the crime scene when it's a murder. Then the mayor has to go to every crime scene in Orleans Parish along with the DA, no matter, and I say crime scene, a murder. They've got to face their constituents. They've got to face reporters. It's going to be on their agenda, and it's going to prioritize some of the serious problems that are happening.
Well,
secondly,
go ahead.
Secondly, real quick, how can the mayor call press conferences ad nauseum during COVID and march across the stage, doctors, administrators, shutting restaurants down, look, I think even a conservative person would say she did a pretty good job handling the COVID crisis. She's not treating this as a crisis. They need to have judges, city council people present every week, minimum, at a press conference giving updates. And judges need to also be held accountable. They were elected. Did you let this person out? Why did this person, the repeat offender, why were they let out? They need to answer these questions, and you will solve the problem if this is done.
George, I think those are – I'm glad you called. Those are really good observations. The Metropolitan Crime Commission, I believe, is planning on updating us on carjackings and crime figures in general, feeling like an update on that is going to help bring public awareness to how bad the problem really is, not that we're not aware of it already. But you know, the mayor does show up at many, not all, but I don't know if at all, but she shows up at many murder scenes, especially if it's a high-profile murder. But maybe she should show up at every one. And maybe the constituents from the neighborhood should go there, too. And maybe the mayor should look at the people who are affected, the people in the neighborhood who are affected by that. Because when you're a politician, like a mayor, it's real easy to be out of touch with your constituents. Even on the level of being a mayor, mayors are more in touch with their constituents than presidents and senators and congressmen and women. But it's easy to be out of touch. So, you know, maybe these are things that would bring it home. The point is, we do need to work together. We need the help of the mayor, the city, NOPD, and the DA, and the judges. And are the judges prone to let people out? Because many of the people that are arrested are friends or family members of the people that vote for them to put them in office. I mean, this could be an incestuous cycle. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. On this day, January 19th, 1959, now it's important to remember the year 1959, the ratings showed that ABC's American Bandstand was the nation's most popular daytime show. 1959. Now, this was when, you know, rock and roll was just kind of coming of age, and I remember coming home from school every day and watching American Bandstand every afternoon, wishing that I could dance as well as those kids and wishing that I was around attractive people like that. But for this show to have been the most popular daytime show in 1959 showed the power of a young generation back then, the boomers. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. We have a sad note on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar for today, January 19th. This is the day in 2006 Wilson Pickett died of a heart attack at a hospital near his home in Virginia. He was 64 years old. And this was one of his classics. I think this was one of the songs that some of the bad boys in you know, the group that I hung out with when I was a teenager, would pop the gator to this song. Pop the gator. I mean, sorry, that was another one. That was another one of those like popping the gator. I mean, some of you are going to know what that is, but some of you are not going to know it. Popping the gator was where a guy would like get down on the floor and act like he's humping. I don't know why they call it pop the gator, but it was called pop the gator, and it was just really obnoxious and dirty. But you know, it's like, oh man, that guy's going to pop the gator.
Where do you guys come up with this stuff, boomers?
I know, really. We came up with a lot of crazy stuff. But yeah, pop the gator was a big thing. And you know, and it, like the crowd would kind of part when like somebody would say, okay, if you put the song on, then you know, Rusty over there is going to pop the gator.
Okay.
And it's like, oh my God. And then the girls are looking, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that.
Right.
And it's like simulated, you know, pumping.
I'm going to get a drink.
Okay. I'm Scoot. Hang on. If you're on hold, we'll be back on WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.